Blog Talk Radio.
Former Chicago resident, which, you know, that brother's up there doing things. But, hey, we need stuff in Chicago, too. So hopefully we can collaborate on a few things. Last night, the brother was going ahead and discussing his campaign, pretty much why he feels that, hey, he needs to go ahead with it. Everyone needs to go ahead and burn that NAACP membership card. laid down some good points. There was something that stood out in my mind that hit me was I knew that the NAACP was started by whites, but I didn't know it was run by whites up until, I think it was the early 70s or whenever. But, and that just goes ahead, and that just shows me right there that, hey, look, they're not going to get involved in black issues, real issues. You know, the NAACP is an organization, a nonprofit organization, moneymaker for so and so and such and such. And no way that they're gonna go ahead and deal with real black issues. Real quick, let me get the brother on because I want to jump right into this. Brother Ed, you there?
I'm here. It sounds like you're breaking up just a little bit.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, and it's coming in choppy. What I'm going to do is let me go ahead and play something real quick, and let me do a couple of something else real fast, man, all right?
All right, I'll stay on the line.
Yeah, because I hear you coming in, and you were coming in very clear last night, so.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you one. Now that leaves me with a problem. See, I don't like problems, man.
Hey, I understand.
I really don't like problems, man. Here, something really to get you thinking. Oh yeah, let's play. Let me play. That great motivational speaker. Did you like the motivational speaker?
Man, I love him. I love him.
Let me play him early, okay? Here, let me just try to straighten out that problem.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. Mm-hmm. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestor way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough. But, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough. The pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffer as a result of coming here and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here. I want to say thanks.
Ooh, okay. Let me see. Brother Ed. Wait a minute. Let me see if I get him. Brother Ed, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, it's still coming in messed up, man. This is okay. They tell me that the server screwed up. Let's try to get through this real quick, bro. And I'm going to keep trying to work on that problem. You know, I want to get into it right away. You know, the NAACP, I didn't know. Like I was saying earlier, I didn't know that they had, that there was whites running it for a long time.
Yeah.
Real quick, can you, if you know some of the history, can you go ahead and tell me why they turned it over to black folks and gave that first black face to go ahead and represent NAACP?
Oh, absolutely. Here's the thing. The NAACP first president, his name was Stokes. He's a white Boston lawyer, and he served from 1910 to 1915, only 5 years. The next president was I think it was Prinsard, who was the president from 1915 until 1940. Now they think about the spring god of war to certain people who they liked. And it, he was a well-known liberal Republican, one of the first U.S. leaders of the NAACP, strictly about the money. He was the chairman of the board also until he died. And then it goes on to say a guy named Arthur, he was president from 1940 to 1965. And from 1965, there was a guy named Kaplan, another Jewish guy. He was from Boston also. He held that office. And it stayed that way until 1970, when the two brothers took over the NAACP, and they stayed in power until 1975, when Benjamin Hook became the president of the NAACP, and he was the first black. That was in 1975. But it's even more important than that. All the positions of power was controlled by the Jewish people. They were controlled by Jews, the Zionists. They're the one who actually controlled the NAACP. They're the one who sent people out to march and sponsored it with their own money. So that's what they did on certain issues. They sent folks out on issues that were really important. They held you back. Just like with Martin Luther King, they were against Martin Luther King. That's why Martin Luther King started the SCLC. He had separated himself from them because they wanted him. They made him an honorary member because he didn't want to become a member of the NAACP. But his father was a member of the NAACP. So Martin Luther King Jr. himself, he did not. Anyway, Martin Luther King, his name really was not Martin Luther King either. His name was Michael. So that's something else that people need to know. But to say so much for the NAACP has always been controlled by white folks. Even now, they got this Jewish guy with all the money that's supposed to be helping the NAACP. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but the next time we talk, I have his name for you because I just came to me who this guy was. And I will be circulating an email about him. But here's what people need to know about the NAACP. The NAACP was never designed to help black folks. People don't know that. They were not. They piggybacked off of Martin Luther King's back. That's what they did. That's how they got recognition. Even with Rosa Parks, even though that was planned, that was basically Martin Luther King and his work. So that's what they took advantage of. But we have to understand one thing. The NAACP is who they are. They're a bunch of hypocrites. They're a bunch of hypocrites, and they're out of touch with the community. They care less about you and I. And now it's really coming to the surface that they're worthless. They're worthless. And those of you who have an NAACP card, my suggestion is burn it. Burn it. Burn it as fast as you can. Put some gas on it so it can burn faster. So we know that we have to do that. Wow.
Someone sent me a message, and I hope this brother calls in, but this brother sent me a message saying that the NAACP, it was said that it was designed to counter nationalism with the false ideology of integration and assimilation. So who were some of the people that were pretty much going on with that assimilation and that integration piece early on?
Well, wait a minute. It kind of like, can you kind of like repeat that? You was kind of breaking up just a little bit.
Yeah, man, it is messing up, man. I think they're doing it to me. I really think they're doing me tonight, man.
Yeah, well, you know how they see the NAACP got power people don't even know about. They can stop something from being on TV if they want it.
So they were started, NAACP was started in 1909, right?
That is correct.
So what I'm getting at is, like, you know, you had some brothers running around here about that time that were talking about nationalism, you know, return to Africa and things of that nature. the NAACP wasn't in support of that, now were they?
Oh, absolutely not. Matter of fact, that's why one of the reasons why the NAACP was formed, to neutralize the brothers. I can't think of the name of it right off the top of my head, but they were started in 1905, this group that you're referring to. And the NAACP was started in 1909. It was started to neutralize this operation for the simple reason these people had money. And the group that wanted to go back to Africa had no money. So that's really what it added up to.
That was the Marcus Garvey people, right?
Right, Marcus Garvey and his group. I can't think of the name of it, but it was a pretty big group, and they was heading back to Africa. And that's another reason why the NAACP was formed, to neutralize that group.
So it was I'm getting it from Pianki, the UNIA.
Mm-hmm.
The UNIA, that was the group that Mark Scarvia formed.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Niagara or something. I can't remember the name right off the top of my head, but I think it had something to do with Niagara.
I'll look that up. But, hey, look, I'm here basically because I wanted to go ahead and because that just stood in my mind and bothered me all day. I couldn't even go ahead and concentrate, man, because I knew it was started by whites, but I didn't know it was totally controlled by whites. So that's where pretty much why they don't go ahead and get involved in a lot of issues. Pianki says this, that was the Niagara movement and the meeting.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring you on in a minute, Pianki. But when you were last night, you were talking about these class action lawsuits and that the NAACP don't want to get involved in nothing unless if it's an individual, they don't want to get involved in something unless it's a class action lawsuit.
And
so here in Chicago, what greater reason would they not get involved in this class action lawsuit when all these young people are being killed, miseducated, mistreated? You can go ahead and give me the whole list, but they haven't got involved in things that are here.
Well,
that ain't a big money maker for it. It just go ahead and show me that they're just another, you know, these people are profiting off the pain of black folks.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem damn proud of it because they're taking on all these other issues that are really not beneficial to us. They seem like they want to take on these issues that want to hurt us.
Absolutely.
And keeping us down and going ahead and keeping us look like buffoons is profits to a whole lot of people, and they know that. But since they had a whole lot of white leadership, they never, ever intended to go ahead and be a real serious organization that's going ahead and do something and speak on our behalf. They were profiting off our pain. And like you were saying yesterday about you getting the nasty phone calls, I got a few text messages from people who were saying almost the exact same thing that you were saying. Why are we criticizing them when they've been there helping us? This oldest civil rights movement and all this other stuff, but, hey, they were just a distraction.
That's all they was a distraction. But here's something else that people should understand. All those killings in Chicago, let me say what they have done. They have increased the sales of the gun makers. See, the National Rifle Association, remember who they are. You have never heard the NAACP speak out about the National Rifle Association. You have never heard about it. You never will hear anything that these white folks make a lot of money off of. The NAACP is not going to speak out about it. And
you know what, brother? Let me show you what I had noticed. And then somebody kind of like briefly broke it down a little bit, and I can't remember who it was. But the National Rifle Association was established in 1871.
Okay.
So them being established in 1871, that was slowly after the Emancipation Proclamation, Reconstruction, all that stuff. I just feel that, hey, look, you join this group, and this is a group against black folks. Let me go ahead and arm the white folks because the niggas about to go ahead and get their freedom, and we ain't gonna be able to tell them nothing.
You know what you're saying is so true. That's when they was allowed to carry guns and black folks wasn't allowed to carry it.
And if you were a member of the National Rifle Association, that was like I'd say pretty much a Klan organization. That's why I don't go
right.
ahead and see them as that we need to pay attention to.
What you just said is so tremendous. But there was this guy named Robert Williams from North Carolina. He was the president of the North Carolina branch of the NAACP. And here's what he did. He stood up against the Klans and everybody else, and he armed himself. Also, he wrote a book during that period of time. They call it Negroes with Guns.
Mm.
And they became the, what do they call it? The defense, what do they call them? Guns of defense? Deacons of defense. Deacon of defense. And and during that period of time, the NAACP kicked him out of the NAACP because he decided that he was going to arm himself and protect himself and his family and the community against the Klans.
Mm.
And the NAACP immediately kicked him out of the NAACP. And you can look that up on the internet about Robert Williams. And he wrote a book called Negroes with Guns. And it kind of like a spinoff from the National Rifle Association, too, because they believe in protecting the community, and the NAACP did not believe in protecting its community. Because remember this, once again, it was controlled by the Jewish people. And they just so happened to consider themselves white.
What do you mean the NAACP didn't talk about protecting the community? What does that mean?
That means that they did not want Robert Williams to arm himself. They did not want Robert Williams to arm himself. The only thing they wanted Robert Williams to do was be a member of the NAACP and do nothing. And matter of fact, Robert Williams was expelled by the NAACP. This happened in 1959. He led a fight for African Americans in the late 50s and 60s to defend himself with guns when necessary from the Ku Klux Klan violence. He wrote a book about these experiences, Negroes with Guns. The work, which had been reprinted by Wayne State University Press, was originally printed, published in 1962. Robert Williams also championed the several other things. Matter of fact, he saved lives in 1959 when there was a riot took place on the defense of two youth, ages 7 and 9, accused of assaulting and molesting a white female. They were 7 and 9 years old. They kissed that girl on the jaw, and they said that these two boys, 7 and 9, sexually assaulted this white little girl. And Robert Williams was one of the few to defend them. That's correct. Look him up, Robert Williams. And what he did, he believed in the tradition of African armed self-defense. He believed that you should carry a gun. The NAACP said you shouldn't carry a gun. You shouldn't protect yourself. And that's one of the greatest stories you would ever hear and read about. Look Robert Williams up.
I'm going to check into that. I'm going to check into it. I want to get to some of that white leadership running around the NAACP, because last night you said that there's an NAACP office in Utah. So who are they supposed to be looking out for?
Utah or Idaho. I don't remember the state. It was in the final call. They the one who made me know that there was. I'm thinking it was in Idaho or either Utah, one or the other. But I know
either way it goes, I don't think there's many black people up there in either one. There's a few more blacks in Utah. I've been up to Salt Lake.
That's what I'm thinking. But the president of the NAACP up there and in the office was white. That's why he made notice of it, you see. So out of all the places in the world, are you going to have a branch up in Utah or Idaho, and you got a white president of the chapter? What is he going to do?
What is he going to do? Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to protect anybody black. He's not going to fight for any civil rights. You see? Anyway, that's just a myth about these guys standing up for civil rights and stuff like that. They don't do it. NAACP, out of touch with the black community. That's final. I mean, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They know what they're doing. They know what the NAACP was designed to do. The thing that makes this so important, black people don't know it.
You've been to you were in the leadership. Go ahead and tell me again about the leadership. You know, what were you doing?
Well, basically what we were doing, we was court watching, which was very, very, very important. we was getting people out off, if, you know, like a lot of times, especially black folks, they have the court-appointed attorney tell them to plead guilty to a crime that you didn't commit, and you go there and plead guilty, you go to prison here. This is one place where you go to prison. We have more people in prison here per capita than anywhere in the state of Michigan, including Detroit. That's per capita. That don't mean, you know, they got a larger population, but we're talking about per capita. So they knew what they was doing. But what we would do, we would go over there to the courthouse, and we would sit, and we'll do it we'll have shifts where people come in and keep an eye on these jokers. Mm-hmm. And they knew one thing for sure, that we were serious about what we did, and they didn't like that. Here's another thing. When someone got fired from their job around here, they would call up. I would immediately, the first thing I would do, I would write them a letter, set up a meeting with them, and get their job back. 9 out of 10 times, we would get their job back. And that was something that, you know, that never happened around here before. So when you get fired around here, you're fired. But if you get fired and we can somehow prove that they did something wrong, or they did it because you was black, or they did it because you was a female, or they did it for some reason, we normally would get your job back. And we'll make them get your job back. Or we'll march them. We'll picket their place. And that's what they didn't want. See, because I'm going to tell you the truth, around here, they're still hanging crosses. They're hanging nooses and burning crosses right here in the city of Denver.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that. I really wouldn't doubt that. You attended a lot of meetings, right?
Yeah.
Well, from people from the local, the state, and even at the national level. And you had a lot of whites in those meetings. I mean, like if you deal with like a national or some, you know,
In our state meeting here, the answer is no.
Okay.
It was 99.9% black.
What was that? What was that 0.1%?
We had one or two that was part of it. You see,
okay.
You're always gonna have one or two. We had one or two that was part of that meeting, and then also we had like when we go to the national level, then it rises. You said maybe 4 or 5% at a meeting will be white, and if you go to the Freedom Fund dinner, probably 30 to 35% of the people there will be Caucasians.
Mm. So did they speak?
Did they speak at the meeting?
Yeah.
At the national, yes.
Okay, so what was some of the stuff that was
at the local level? No.
Okay, so what were they saying? What was some of the input? What are some of the things they were saying in the meeting?
Well, what they were trying to do is try to redirect whatever direction that you're heading. One of the things that we would do, you come up with resolutions, you see, and most of the resolutions are usually silly. They, you know, they don't mean nothing to nobody, and they would be the author of some of them. Because most times, most black people, we don't write a whole lot. You know, what we do mainly is that we'll say something, but we won't put nothing on the floor. And sometimes when you go to a meeting, you'll find out sometimes black people won't even talk at all. But my thing is that if I'm at a meeting and I got an issue, I have to bring the issue out. It got to be brought out. And that's one thing we did. But most of the time when we went to the national, they will always have at least one or two, sometimes three of them speaking at the national Freedom Fund dinner.
Okay, so those ones that were speaking, were they part of leadership, or were they from, like, outside groups? Or
oh, no, they were part of leadership.
When I saw some of the luncheons or some of the dinners, because they like to show it, you know, like the parade, you know, they had an NAACP meeting every time I see it on the news and stuff. I see a lot of whites there, and so I thought a lot of them were just invited, but I didn't know they were members.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I didn't know they were members. And, you know, and this is why it's kind of amazing to me. I'm a little late on this, you know, because I try to be up on some things. But this part, I just didn't know that these guys were members. Let me bring this brother on because he's been holding for a minute here.
Yeah, bring him on because I got a few more minutes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Pianchi.
Yeah, that organization is nothing but it's just rotten, man. I put in a link in the chat room. I joined NAACP because a friend of mine, John Bordeaux, who had been a member, his father had been a member, was running for the local presidency because the existing president wasn't doing a damn thing. So a lot of the Nation of Islam members here also joined. And when the election was taken and when it was over, John and the existing president at that time tied. So they had a runoff election, and John beat him. So for about 10 months, they were just trying to tear this brother down until they finally voted. That was Mfume and Ratcliffe, who is this state head of the NAACP here in Missouri. They just got rid of him. And the organization is no damn good at all. Du Bois quit the organization back during the day because he said the policies of the NAACP were designed to keep blacks as dependent on others rather than do for self.
You are absolutely correct, and what you said is so amazing, because I was going to read that in reference to what you and they. And they actually is designed, the NAACP is designed to keep you from achieving some of the goals that we should have attained. And that's one of the reasons why Martin Luther King has separated himself from the NAACP, because he understood exactly what they stand for. And a lot of times, well, they tried to piggyback or ride Martin Luther King back to get recognition more than anything else. And that's what it really was all about. But we the people, we have to tell people. People are so afraid of standing up and saying that the NAACP is a bunch of crap. You see, they're nothing but a bunch of pimps. They've been pimping the black community for all these years. For the last 100 years, they've been pimping. That's what they've been doing. And treating citizens like they prostitutes. That's what they're doing. And their members. You see, but most people, this is how they feel. They feel you should be proud just to be a member of the NAACP. That's how they feel. When they sent me a letter telling me that they were suspended me for 5 years, and I sent them a letter back telling them that I don't want them to be this lenient on me. I want you to suspend me for the rest of my life. I'm going to make sure I don't make a mistake. I don't want to become a member of the NAACP again. I don't want to do that.
What chapter was you in, Philadelphia?
I know, Benton Harbor, Michigan.
Well, you know, they had a leader down in Lafayette, Louisiana, by the name of Bud Harrelson. And, you know, I was heavily involved in African-centered education, and I would go around the countries and do workshops with the groups that wanted to implement that in their school district. But this leader down there entered into a dissent decree with the white schools in the county and the ones in Lafayette, the black schools in Lafayette, Louisiana. He entered into this decree to close the black schools and bust the black children out into the county, whereas the money that was allocated for the black schools would go out to the county. They would have what they were getting at first, plus what they were getting from the black schools, plus about 50 to 75% more.
Wow. I mean, you know, when I think about all this stuff that's going on, and some of the stuff, we're in this position today because we allow ourselves to be pimped by these people. Until we change the way we do business, we're going to continue to be this way. It's time that we make the NAACP either put up or shut up. And I think that we're heading in the direction of more people are beginning to be more educated about what's happening with the NAACP. So we have to spread the word. We have to let the word go out there. We have to tell the people what's happening with the NAACP. See, one of the things, nobody really wants to fight with the NAACP. If you're in your community and you fight with the NAACP, you automatically become the bad guy. You see, I would have been really crucified by them if I had not took them to court and attempt to sue them for that $100,000. Because they, once they read what the judge said, they knew that I was in the right. The newspaper, sent to them, at first they wrote the story like Pinckney was doing something bad. then all of a sudden they realize that, whoa, maybe there's more to this, because I told them, if you write something that's not true in the newspaper, I'm going to sue you too. And you better be able to prove what you say. And I noticed one of the things after that, they started writing stories, one a great story, but then they had my spin on it more than they had the NAACP. So that was a good part.
You know, another thing that they do too, and what they did to you is not uncommon. They did the same thing to one of the chapter leaders there in Philadelphia. But they have came out and sued against school choice. When you got 70 to 75% of blacks, when they polled and surveyed, they say, we want school choice. In New York, and I think in New Jersey, NAACP sued the school district because the school district was looking into starting school choice charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
So they did the same thing here in Missouri, in my state, when we had one representative wanted to have a scholarship fund where businesses could contribute towards children going to private schools or wherever they wanted to go and be able to write it off against their state taxes. The local state NAACP chapter told the outstate white legislators who we needed in order to get it passed in the state legislative body. They told these white outstate legislators out in the boondocks that if you vote in support of this legislation, we will accuse you of being racist. And I got that in writing.
Mm-hmm. You know what, that's one of the reasons why a lot of these corporations do not go against the NAACP. Because one thing about the NAACP, you got to give them their props. If they call up.
Hello?
Why are they doing my show, man? Hello, can anyone hear me? Press 1.
Yeah, I can hear you. What happened?
I don't know. They knocked me off, man. I'm not sure. You know, I've noticed there's several topics that if I go in and talk nonsense or have some BS going on, I can stay on all day. But when I go ahead and you criticize some individuals for what they ain't doing or what they are doing, I get knocked off. You know, let me play something right quick, man. Let me see if I, because I'm going to have to go ahead and sort this out. Because this is really disturbing.
All of America, on Friday evening, go to any big city, and you'll see blacks lined up to get into Chinatown to go to China, eat some Chinese food. Have you ever seen Chinese lined up trying to get into a black town? Somebody is not playing with a full deck. You're not playing the game to win. You're just playing. And you got to stop spending your money. So then I go to various cities, and blacks got the nasty habit, when company comes, putting them in their car on a Sunday and taking them out to the white community and say, let me go out and show you some nice white homes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's go out to look at the white malls. And then they come back home and say, how in the world can white folk afford all those fine homes and big houses? It's easy. It's your money. You see what I'm saying? And y'all think I'm teasing. See, they're living off of two incomes. They live off 100% of their income and 95% of yours. And you're trying to live off of 2%. It is humanly impossible for a race of people to live off of 2% of their income. And in America, you equate human worth based on what you own. And if black folk don't own 2%, that's why white racists say, black folk ain't worth 2 cents. Because we don't own anything, and human worth is equated in this country based on what you own and control. And we violate all the premises of economics. We have yet to learn how to practice group economics. And the last thing about integration is that integration got a quota system, and you need to know this. It's got a quota system. You're a white somebody against quotas, they're wrong. It's got a quota system. Anytime you get more than 5 to 8% of blacks involved in anything, whites are going to put up chains. They're going to stop you. If more than 5 to 8% of blacks move into their community, they're going to put their house up for sale. If more than 5% of blacks, 8% of blacks go into their schools, they're going to pull their kids out of school. If more than 5 to 8% of blacks come into their businesses, they're going to move the business out of town, cross town, out of the country. If more than 5 to 8% of blacks come into their association, they'll resign. They got a quota system. And people say, well, blacks are against affirmative action. No, they're not against affirmative action. They're against affirmative action for you. You see, they're against a set aside. Racism is nothing but preferential treatment for whites. They say they're against preferential treatment. You hear them say they're against set aside. Jim Crow is nothing but a 100-year set aside program for whites. So they set aside the best restaurants, the best food, the best schools for whites. They say they're against quotas. You got a quota system, I told you, in the immigration laws. Today, you still are a planned minority. You can't win. So now let me get to some solutions for you very quickly. I have a few more minutes I got left. What we're going to do across this country now is going to call Powernomics. That's a new book coming out called Powernomics, Unleashing Black America's Potential. It's a follow-up to the book Black Labor, White Wealth. It'll show you in very specific terms what you got to do to be competitive. The things we got to focus on is in broad categories with specific principles. The first is a community. You cannot do anything unless you have a community. Your community is your social cohesiveness. The only power, the potential that black people have in America is your social, racial cohesiveness. If you don't have that, you have no power. Forget about everything else. That's a fact of life. You got to have a community because the community will give you your businesses. It'll give you your sales opportunities and your markets. Now, how do you develop communities? First thing you must do is stay out of all cross-purpose issues. Cross-purpose means horizontal issues. Don't get involved in any horizontal issues. Let me explain it to you. I see the puzzlements in your eyes. First, racism is vertical. Remember this. Racism is straight up and down. Racism means I don't care whether you are the lowest income black or the highest, the best educated or the least educated. It doesn't make any difference. You're all in the same tube. Okay? That's what Malcolm X asked. What is a black man with a PhD? Remember that saying? He answered, well, he's still a Negro. Okay? It means it doesn't make any difference. You're all in together. That's straight up and down. Horizontal issues are any issue that pertains to everybody, stay out of it. You're the weakest and poorest, most vulnerable people. Don't get involved in it. Because the only people that can benefit are those people who are directly behind where the horizontal crosses the vertical. Okay? The only people who benefit are where those two points cross. That's too small. You don't have that kind of energy and resources to waste. Now, what's a horizontal issue? Sexism is a horizontal issue. When you get into these various religious issues, that's a horizontal issue. Poverty is a horizontal issue. I keep telling some of my civil rights leaders, stay away from poverty. You cannot eradicate poverty. Poverty is a fix. It's a given. You're always going to have poor people. And people say, well, you're going to have poor Greeks, poor Indians, poor Lithuanians, poor Hungarians. Quit trying to eradicate poverty and try to get as many black folk as you out and leave poverty alone. But they try to eradicate something that can't be eradicated. Culturalism, that's a horizontal issue. That pertains to everybody. Let me give you about sexism, for instance. I tell black women who always want to get into sex issues, they think that somehow that the issue is sex rather than racism. See, my great-grandmother was not enslaved because she's a woman. She was enslaved because she was black. Okay? And if you're going to get into sexism, I want black women to understand this, to keep your priorities in order. If I say abracadabra right now and sexism disappeared, you still can't go into places because you're black. And to keep it in order, remember what your mother felt. The minute she knew she was pregnant, she knew at that moment she was going to have what? A black child long before she knew the sex. So you keep your priorities straight and say, since my color came before my sex, I'm going to keep it in that order. You always say black first. So stay out of those cross prepositions. I'll explain out the next time I come back out here on a Power Numbers workshop or something. But that's very important. I can show you all the problems you got with that. And see, but once you stay out of those horizontal issues, like I tell some of my Muslim friends, I said, don't be worried about pushing Islamic faith. Push your skin color first and stay aligned with your people's. And I tell them, the people in the Baptist church, quit worrying about about being a Baptist and worry about being black. And again, I have to give credit to your minister. It seems like he's one of the few in the country who understands that. That you put who you are and as a people before you start talking about what denomination you belong to. And especially since most of the denominations on the earth all work together to enslave black folk. All of them pimp and hustle black folk. The Catholics, the Protestants, the Baptists, the Jews, and everybody else got black folk. But what we're going to do then is start, once we get past building these communities, then we're going to start getting into what we call practicing, building alternative
Yeah, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host here at Blog Talk Radio. I'm having just a few connections issues. Okay, I'll get with you in a minute, Jerry. Brother Bianchi, let me get your line back up here because this is confusing to me for a minute. The thing that I'm seeing is that Rainbow Push, the Urban League, the Action Network, all these guys operating on the same plane.
Well, some of them are a little bit more affected than the others.
What do you consider an effect?
Early on, Rainbow Push, Jesse Jackson, have done some good things. Like those lawsuits that they had against, for instance, like Burger King. And if you really get the research and what came out of it, you had blacks who owned Burger King restaurants, but then they came back and complained, said that you were just giving us restaurants in these depressed areas. Then they changed it. Hell, Herman Cain came out of that with his pizza place. If you do the research.
Really? Oh, my goodness, really?
Yeah. Herman Cain was able to get his pizza place based off of that lawsuit by Jesse Jackson against Burger King. Burger King.
Yeah, I did hear something about that.
It wasn't a lawsuit, it was a boycott. That's what got him. See, back then, businesses was very immune to boycotts from blacks. And Burger King had to make some changes. Then something else came out of it. I can't think of it right now. But they made available for one of their subsidiaries to be bought by blacks. And here's the point. They left the offer on the table for almost a year, if not over a year. And I think they even provided the money. I'm not sure. But what is that, Domino Pizza? Godfather Pizza?
Godfather Pizza is what he was into.
Yeah, so Godfather Pizza, then I can't think of the name of where they sprung out of, because Godfather Pizza was owned by this subsidiary, and they chose to give that up in order to satisfy, blacks in the boycott. And, it goes on and on and on. Now, of course, they helped themselves, but, a lot of, early on it was good, but as time went by, they became rotten to the core. I ain't going to say rotten to the core, but, things change.
I'd say rotten to the core, because that's all they're all about now, because you don't see them, and they're not a big, they're not a force in the community. They're not there. I mean, I got this little cafe, this little restaurant, right, I'm trying to work on, right? And across the street, the NAACP office for that area is inside this other building. Now, I know the brother who runs it, who's a caretaker and everything like that, but this, I have never, ever, ever seen it. And I've been going over there for about a year, man, and I've never seen anybody in that office. I've never seen nobody. I haven't seen the lights on. I haven't seen them. I'm trying to figure out, what's their purpose? I ain't never seen nobody come out of that office, man. I've been over there a lot, every week.
To control blacks when they get out of hand, just like the preachers are. I can tell you so many stories. And, you know, when I was doing this thing with the African Center curriculum, I kept running into these people. And, you know, you see names, and sooner or later you go down the line, you say, damn, this looks familiar. And I kept running into these people, and then I got to think, I said, you know, this organization is working against what African Americans want as it applies to educating their children.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Here, let me get Brother Jerry on real quick, man. Brother Jerry, you there?
Man, I don't know what's going on, but I tried every number. Now they got this here 347-637-1074 number in as your call in number.
See, I told you. Yeah, it's misdirected my shit, man.
Number your number used to be 626-226. They didn't change the whole number on you.
That fast, huh?
That fast. But you know what, though? You know, this is nothing new. All this stuff that we're talking about now, it goes all the way back to slavery. What they used to do when they wanted to find out what the slave had on their mind, they used other black slaves, house niggas, to go out in the field to find out what those slaves had on their mind if they wanted to have an uprising to break away from their slave masters, if they wanted to kill their slave masters. That's why so many slaves died, because you had house niggas back today. Go right back and tell the master what's going on. Them niggas out there talking about killing your master. Yeah, who? So-and-so-and-so-and-so right there, so-and-so-and-so-and-so right there. Then they can string them, get them all together and string them up in front of the whole doggone slave community and sometimes chop their heads off, body parts, and everything else. So this is nothing new. This has been going on forever. The NAACP ain't been just doing it. There's a whole lot of them that's doing it to us. Anytime black folks got to say something or get like you're doing right now, now that number not working. See, they didn't change the number again. Well, see, they're going to show you when you own some hot stuff. They want to change you. They don't want talking about this. But see, we got to understand. Look at our communities now. If all these so-called black organizations were supposed to have been doing what they were doing. Now, you say the NAACP started in 1909. Okay, if they would have been doing what they supposed to have been doing for the advancement of colored people, why are we worse off than we ever was before?
Right.
In our communities, we don't have nothing. There is no more soul food restaurants. Really, there is really no more Afro-American community. And then when you get to talking about this, the first thing they'll say is, well, you black people can't blame nobody but yourselves.
Yeah, oh, man, you know how much I hate hearing that damn line? I didn't want to make me just jet off right into their mouth. Just go ahead and boom. Let me share something with you real quick. Okay, it said, the more blacks are being killed in Chicago, blacks have been killed more in Chicago than in Afghanistan. And I haven't seen too much of this shit from the NAACP. I mean, that, you know, they always talk about jumping on class action lawsuits. I mean, I don't hear them. But I heard Ben Jealous mention some stuff. I miss that. It was a little while ago when those 20 white kids got killed. He was coming out. He was speaking out on it against gun control and all the other shit. But this thing about black kids being killed, about a whole lot of blacks being murdered with guns and stuff like that, this has been going on. It ain't been like no 2-3 years. This ain't something new from last year. This shit been going on for about 40 years. They said in Chicago they've been setting outrageous records for the amount of people they've been killed in. And
well,
another,
you know,
city, at one time, I mean, one time, it was New Orleans rival Chicago. It was up there almost neck and neck, close to almost 600 plus. And you got to look at that 600 being murdered, but you got to look at how many have been shot.
They ain't going to say nothing about that. But, you know, back during the Civil Rights Movement, and I want y'all to forgive me because I can't keep all this stuff on my mind. But it was what they called the Big Six. It was NAACP. It was CORE. It was SNCC. It was, and Jerry might be able to help me. It was three others, and they were fighting against each other because they seen the opportunity coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to put, somebody wanted to position themselves to be able to get all this money. Black folks didn't black folks didn't bank the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement was banked by a white man by the name of Stephen Currier and Audrey Currier, who was the granddaughter of Andrew Mellon.
And
that's what. And if you listen to Malcolm X, he'll tell you about that. That they gave King and them what $750,000 up front, and after the big march on Washington, where he'd done the "I Had the Dream" speech, and he was given the other $250,000 to get out of town, something like that. But that's where all that stuff go down, man. Them people would buy your ass out quick.
Well, see, the brother last night was going. You know, he dropped off. I know he had some stuff to do. So
they go, Chief. They go and they control us. Now, we didn't have all these black organizations in play for the past 100 and some years, and you know we didn't have not millions, not billions, but trillions of dollars to pass through our black organizations. All of them combined, we had hundreds of trillions of dollars pass through. But look at our communities. Whether we don't even have communities. We don't.
Yeah,
have
always that's a common, you know, what is it?
All we got is neighborhoods.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to bring it down, but it seemed like everybody with common ideology, you know, to unify. But Jerry, you were saying something earlier. When we talked, you were talking about how they get all this corporate money, like NAACP, and if you ain't tied into some of these big corporations, they're not going to fund you.
You got to understand one thing: when you write out that grant money and all that, when you write out them grant papers to send off for this year, 30, 40 million, 100 million, or whatever they want to give you, they already know who they're giving this money to. MacArthur Foundation, they know who they're giving it to, the Rockefeller Foundation, all of them. All these big willies, they know who they're going to give that money to. And when they give you $400-500 million, they look for their kickback. They're going to get their money. They just ain't giving you $500 million just because they want you to help these people. It's all a damn game, man.
Go to their website. Go to their website and look at their membership, what it takes to be a member. It only costs $30 a year for the common person, but look at the corporate money that they got. Look at them corporate sponsorships. That's
right.
Where they get their money from.
That's just 30.
And teachers' unions.
Here is just to go in there and put on the paper, on the table, look how many niggas we got. This how many niggas we got. This how many niggas believe in the program that we putting down. You see them? Look at all these niggas. We got 5,000 on this page. We got 10,000 niggas on that page. We got 20,000 over here. Come on. We got all these niggas in every state. We got them bagging us. They believe in us. They trust us.
See, the brother
us.
Last night was saying, hey, look, when you got that support like that, all these people, all these black people going here supporting this, well, it's pretty much to go ahead deal with get out there and protesting and boycotting, you know, certain industries.
Well,
These cats know that because this is supposed to be one of the oldest civil rights organizations on the planet, if not the in the U.S. And really, they ain't been there. They want you to come out and support a whole bunch of other stuff, you know, other silliness, like this brother was saying last night, like the Reverend was saying last night that, you know, what they one of the things they was doing was having people go out, get out in the street, and push people to vote for Barack Obama. I mean, if they can go here, organize, and get people like that, why aren't they coming here to a city like Chicago and stop some of these damn killings?
Well, you know,
trying to stop this killing, man. They're not trying to stop this killing.
That's it, brother. You know who else is a great sponsor? Then you remember how Cynthia McKinney got took out by the Jews in Georgia?
Yeah.
I have seen NAACP do the same thing to some black candidates that didn't go along with the program. And that is
the teachers union. They didn't go along with the program. That's why they killed him. He could have lived as long as he would have went along with the program. This ain't nothing new. That's why they killed him. Because he didn't go along with the program. He just wouldn't do it. he just wouldn't do it. They killed his mama. They tried to stop him.
Mm.
He just wouldn't do it. They say, okay, we're gonna kill you too, and they did it.
Look at the Scottsboro Nine boys. NAACP wouldn't defend them. It was the Communist Party that defended them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Like, it's one of those things, like, when you go here and look at you, I'm looking at you, okay, because this is in my lifetime, you know, I can see a lot of stuff. The thing that's bugging me is, hey, when the Scott sisters got free, when they were outside the prison, the first person that I see pop around the corner was Ben Jealous.
And
going
there and
taking credit for what's happening. And I got to give Nancy the props. She was constantly on it. And that's one of the biggest names I saw out there. Brother Jerry was doing
You don't see him trying to help Shashada Sakura. Chelsea McIntyre that's down in Cuba. He got $1 million reward against her head from the governor of New Jersey.
You know, we got to understand one thing. These guys, these organizations are way beyond just the United States. They all over in Africa. They all over there with the Muslims, the Arabs. They all over there with the oil companies. They all over that, man. Y'all got to understand one thing. This is a big corporation of business making money. That's all it is.
They profiting off the pain of black folks, and they got no shame to their game at all.
They was over in Zimbabwe in 1982 election. I'm not sure. They're NGO. They was over there monitoring the election, and they refused. They withheld information that showed that the election was fair and was no hanky paint going on. So when they withheld the information, it caused the United States, Britain, and France to impose sanctions and boycotts to try to economically destroy Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no doubt about it. It's the devil's in the office.
We got
the
devil in the
office.
Hold on a minute. Go ahead, Supreme. You on? I heard you. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, there's no doubt about it. The devils are controlling these house niggas that we got in our community, and NCAAP, whatever, or NWCAP, whatever. They're just a bunch of house niggas. That's the bottom line.
NAACP
for our people. It ain't no good for our people. Us integrating. Into what? That's what's killing our people, integration. We need to separate. Especially right now, the way things are. Why do you think the Chinaman's doing well? Because he's separated from these beasts. He don't even allow the white man to have to go and monopolize his country.
Check it out. But see, you know, this is like a two-pronged fight. We got to deal with them, and then we got to deal with all of the house niggas.
That is the problem. I talk about that all the time. That's when I say black folks. When I be saying black folks is your biggest problem, one of your biggest problems, them the ones I'm talking about. Here in St. Louis, we had a lady by the name of Lenny Liddell. She was complaining because her daughter's school didn't have the proper things they should have. So the NAACP came to her, coerced her to get on board with them. They end up suing the state, and that's when they started that damn busing. She didn't want her child to be bussed out in the white community. She just wanted her child's school in the black community to have the things that they need to have so that the children could learn. Next thing, they took that and turned it into a big ass busing issue, man. And that lasted for about 30 years.
Yeah, but that was reunification. That's all it was. Get these niggas out the inner city. That's all
it
was.
Well, you know what happened? This is what happened. The white schools wouldn't go along with it. The judge said that he was going to take – he said, if y'all don't come up with a plan, I'm going to come up with a plan. You ain't going to like it. So what the white schools district said, well, this is what we do. We would take the black children, but we want –
Come on. Lie down and behave yourself.
Listen. They
lie down and behave yourself.
money.
Come on.
We want the money that they're getting in the St. Louis Public School District. Plus, we want 1.5 times much more than that. So the children in St. Louis Public School was getting about $12,000 a year. When they went out to the white school district, those buildings were getting up to about $25,000 a year per student. That permitted.
You know, hey, man, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Because me and Supreme was listening to this one guy. I mean, we was listening to this guy, this one dude here on Blog Talk, and this brother had his white co-host, and this white co-host came up with a bunch of lame statistics that said what you just said. He said the contrary. He said they spend more money on black schools than they do white schools.
That's
well,
it.
You know what?
What school cost was that again, brother?
Huh?
That was Reese, remember?
Oh, Reese. Oh, man. Reese, yes, Reese said that, and what's his name, White Mike. But that guy is a laughable guy, you know. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Right. So when we got stuff like that going on, you know, again, where is the NAACP?
Well, they do spend. They do see. They trick you on that stuff too.
No.
Overall, they do spend more on the black child in the black school district. Pianchi ain't gonna say
those
something.
Those schools ain't even in the equation, though, Pianchi.
No, they don't. No, they don't spend no money on the kids.
They do. I'm gonna tell you exactly what happened. In Supreme.
Oh, hold on.
You man.
Hold on a minute. Let's do this little more.
We got a lot more respect. Let me tell you what they do in St. Louis. When you break it down and look at the expenditures, the line item expenditures, the actual classroom instructions out of $12,000 or $13,000 or $14,000. The actual classroom instruction money, that is for the teacher, for the books and chairs, is about $5,500 out of about $14,000 or $15,000. The rest of it goes to administration and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not
here.
Let me throw something else at you, Pianchi.
But those schools are, you have to pay to get in.
Hold on, Supreme.
Those schools are private.
Oh, hey, Brother Supreme, hold on.
Man,
Hold on, listen.
Keep talking about this and that. We can have all 99 shows. This ain't gonna never amount to a goddamn thing.
Hold on a minute. Now listen. You know, this is what I also said, Brother Pianchi. I agree with that. But here's something else I know. Okay, because they go ahead and they got this, what they call a little fundraiser apparatus in a lot of these white areas. They go ahead and they put together a whole lot of stuff. And now these people on the school board, they got these other little tricks to go ahead and throw some more money at these schools. Okay, per student. They got a bunch of little tricks that we don't have in the community.
Well, what they do, way the funding comes from is off of property tax. In the white communities, their homes are worth money, more money. Therefore, the property tax is they are taxed more, and the tax portion that goes towards schools is more. Well, see, in the black community, in the cities, for instance, if a corporation builds an office building, they'll give that office building a 20-year exempt from paying taxes, what they call TIF, tax incremental financing. And the money that office building would pay toward the public schools, they don't get it. So that's how public schools
get
screwed up.
You don't get nothing in the ghetto. Same way they closed the bed, taking care of all these schools. Now they want to close all these schools down in Chicago because they done tore down all the projects, and now all the schools, the numbers are down. They don't even have enough doggone kids in the school to fill the doggone classrooms up. That's an old cook for them. They don't even need to have no food there, brother. There ain't that many kids there no more. You see, man, them niggas, these schools used to be overcrowded with kids. Not no more. I went to my son's school, got dogged. I'm looking through the hall. I'm saying, God, dog, is this all the kids? They just, and now they want to bus more kids to his school because they're closing down all the other schools. I said, God, dog, now what we're talking about, stuff that's already a done damn deal. This is already a done deal. Ain't no turning this back on this. These house niggas have done what they were paid to do. It's done. It's over. So we can cry a river to somebody else because it don't mean a damn thing to these niggas. That's why I always call them niggas. That's what they is. Niggas. They're not black. They're niggas. There's a difference between Afro-American people and black people. These are niggas that did it.
And let me tell you something, Brother Jerry.
They sat up there
they sat up here with our great-grandparents and our grandparents and our parents made the goddamn like a bunch of damn idiots because you know what they did? They bowed down to them and they worshiped them. They worked with them. They did all kind of stuff with these niggas.
Look, and that's just another sign that, hey, look, it's a whole lot of our people dropped the ball. And somebody was explaining it to me, hey, look, it was a certain age group that kind of like dropped the ball, Brother Bianchi.
Let me say this, though, brother.
Supreme, hold on.
That's the reason why.
Wait a minute. Supreme, hold on.
All right.
So what this sister was saying, when she pointed out something, she was trying to go ahead, and I wish I could go ahead and get her to come on because she was making a lot of sense. She was saying that it was at a certain age group that go ahead and brought us into this to what we got. She said it was people like it right now, people that's in the 80s, their children, that's like 60, 50 years old and under.
This is the last,
that was the age
the last
group.
Three generations. She is absolutely right. Starting around 1970. When you start seeing all this stuff begin to go wrong. See, the Civil Rights Act made black people by themselves a special class. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 made black slave descendants a special class. It was not meant for all these other ethnic groups, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Arabs, the Latino. It was made for black folks. But it was them damn leaders that offered them to come on in and get on in with it too.
I will say this, right? I will say this. And like I'm going to have to go back again on what Jerry was saying. That's the reason why I want to go to Africa. Because the whole of Africa is run by house niggas. And that's our biggest problem today, is these house niggas. Not even the devil, because we know that the white man's the devil. It's these damn house niggas that we need to get out of this damn house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We've got to stop following them. Like, Jay-Z's a house nigga. Barack Obama's a house nigga. You know, Louis Farrakhan, house nigga.
This is a two-pronged fight, you know, and it ain't hard to go ahead and do this fight, but you need to go ahead and stick with it. You got a lot of people to go ahead and just all fucking talk. I'm real sick of them.
Don't worry about the old ones because they almost dead anyway, so they don't care. They not going to turn around.
Wait, Jerry, hold on. You still got to go ahead and pay attention to them because they are
don't worry about them. Don't, because they ain't going to stop, man. You is not going to turn them around.
I ain't saying turn them around. Hey, it's sort of like, hey, look, well, I had a fight with this dude over here. Okay, so I'm going to make sure I keep my eye on him because if I go ahead and turn my back, he may not be able to go ahead and sucker punch me, but he might throw a brick. That's what I'm talking about, Jerry.
Yeah, but you don't understand let me tell you something, bro. Like right now, you going at, like right now, y'all started hooping and hollering about the NAACP. Now let me tell you something. While you're hollering about the NAACP, you got some more nigga organizations ready to march, counter march against your ass and bring you down.
Oh yeah, we know that. I'm not naive to what's going on out here, Jerry. I'm not going here turning my. I'm not. What did I just say? I know it's something. It's something going here. They ready to start and go ahead and jump. I know that, Jerry. They out there. You just got to go ahead and pay attention. I go ahead and I listen to a lot of individuals out here. There's some fuckers out here, man, I would never mess with. But I go ahead and I listen to them, and I just walk away and go, thanks for the information. I'm going to keep going because I know it's some bullshit.
Where I live right now, I see it every day. You need to come over here so you can see it every day, too, because you in Chicago, Chief. Come on over here. I see it every day. You know,
Jerry, I live in your house. You know, I understand.
But man, I've been here in this business almost 20 years, and I done seen a whole big change. You know, I don't mind living in an all-rainbow community, but man, I got to tell you one thing. We almost, I said next 20 years, if you ain't going to be in Chicago, and the west side over there on that west side, those properties over there are real expensive, $400,000 and $500,000 properties. You know, they really expensive because they so far going on west. Then you got some now pretty soon. All these lakefront properties, they're going to have the south side looking like the north side. You know, so you're going against a table of nothing but house niggas.
Yes,
they all together.
Why tell you what, Jerry? I don't know what's going on in Chicago, but they built a lot of lofts in that in the downtown St. Louis.
Yeah, well, we got here too, Loft and Condominium.
But here, they couldn't get white folks to come to them. They had some $1,800 a month loft that they now doing Section 8 on, where people are going in and paying $350 a month.
Well, down here where I'm at, these lofts and these...
Yeah,
these
hold on. Well, your brother Bianchi, the start. That's the start of bringing them in, because they done that here, and I've seen them do that.
But they didn't come in.
Look, brother, hold on, man. Check this out. They're there, brother Bianchi. Some of them already bought it, and they're going to rent it out for a minute until they go here and they build up a whole bunch of other people. This is what that... You don't tell me you didn't see that. They got these people. They got these lofts. And they know the businesses, and they got their security system. They about to, when they go ahead and see the neighborhood turns over, then they gonna come down there. They done that in a bunch of cities.
Well, you better believe all these house niggas know every last one of them. Listen here, they not just connected here in Chicago. They are connected in every damn state. They are connected in every damn state, and they moving on a higher level than this goddamn Blog Talk Radio. You better believe that. And they ain't never been playing with it. These niggas is moving. And, yeah, we got some down here on 63rd, down there, because some people don't want to move down there. They tried to rent those condos out on Section 8, but they got up in there and started having shootouts and tore up the whole doggone buildings.
Well, they didn't have no white folks to move in. What they done, they got 80,000 Bosnians and moved them into South St. Louis to fill that out. They got a whole city over there, damn near a country. But those lost white folks, we must be running short on white folks. We ain't got them around here.
Don't worry. Don't worry, in the next 20, 25, 30 years, don't worry. They're going to repave all that. Don't worry.
Wait. It ain't no 20, 35 years. You give it the next 3 to 5, period.
He down there in St. Louis.
Please. They've been like that in a whole bunch of places. 3 to 5 years. It has always been like that. Because you look at over there where Cabrini used to be. I used to live around there. And I look at it now, and I'm like, damn, this look totally different.
And then they got all this looking so beautiful and nice, like the black folks that lived there didn't want to live in nothing beautiful and nice. They wanted to live in something like dogs.
And look at this. Check this out. They started by coming in, taking them old buildings, turned them into lofts. They turned them into lofts. That's what they did, Bianchi. That's what they did. And I've seen that plan in a bunch of cities. I've seen it in Detroit. I've seen it in a bunch of cities.
Hal Washington told us this way back in the 80s. He said, my people, I've been to a mayor's meeting. He said, in the next 25, 30 years, I don't see y'all nowhere in the picture in Chicago. My black people, I don't see y'all nowhere. And Mayor Hal Washington told us this way back in the 80s. And he told us, I don't see y'all nowhere in the picture. He said, I went to a mayor's meeting. Well, all these mayors come together in every state, and they all on the same agenda as the governors, as the presidents. All of them in every state, they on the same agenda, man. If the thing just not started, it's been going on for decades.
It's a plan. It is part of a plan. You can't go ahead and deny it when you see the same thing happening next.
You should deny it. It's right in your goddamn face. You can't deny it. It's in your face. That's all you see every day is right in your face. They
didn't get it. Hey, Rob, how many tracks, how much vacant land y'all got up there in Chicago?
What do you mean?
I'm talking about lots and lots and lots and lots that's vacant, like Detroit, sort of.
It's not as bad as Detroit. But there are a lot of vacant lots. You got whole blocks been waiting. In some areas, the whole block's just been devastated.
Well, here in St. Louis, you may have areas that's like 2 or 3 miles square, nothing but vacant land.
Yeah, come over here on the south side. That's what we got over here on the south side.
That's like Detroit.
I'm talking about right here in Chicago. Come right here around the corner from me, from 22nd and State all the way back to 53rd, ain't nothing but vacant land. where all the projects used to be. Then you go over here on 43rd, go over here on 43rd Cottage Grove, where all the projects used to be. Ain't nothing but vacant land.
My auntie used to stay on 39th and Prairie.
Ain't nothing over there no more neither.
That's rough over there.
The school is still there, ain't it? Wendell Phillips still there.
They're getting ready to close it down. They're getting ready to close them down because ain't nobody living around there no more. So the schools is half empty. I keep trying to tag it.
Ain't the Amber Inn?
So let me ask y'all a question.
Amber Inn still over there?
The who?
The Amber Inn Hotel Motel.
Oh, man. They got a brand new hotel they just built up there, and they had a shootout up in there. It was a mess.
Hey, hold on. Let me ask y'all a question. So who's supposed to go ahead with all them vacant lots and all that land, and not the, right, we didn't get into none of that, that lack of black businesses. We don't, NAACP is profiting off that stuff. You know, when is Jackson going to come out and go ahead and say something about that? His office is here in Chicago.
Who?
Jesse Jackson, your buddy.
Oh, man, you need to leave all that shit alone, man. Shit.
Oh, come
on,
buddy.
That's
your buddy. Buddy.
You need to leave that alone. That ain't going to listen here, man.
How am I going to leave him alone? He's doing the same thing as everybody else. As all these other groups.
You ain't
he started out good pretending, just like NAACP started out good pretending.
You ain't gonna stop it.
Shit. The Action Network, all of them started out good pretending.
Yeah,
you can't go ahead and turn your back on them, so I can't leave them alone. These are poverty pimps.
What are you talking about? You ain't got shit. You don't own this land. Thank you.
Hey.
Fuck you, Jerry. You can't do nothing.
Hold on, Jerry. How they got that land? They got that land on talking about the issues in the black community, okay?
Man,
discussing what's going on and then go ahead and getting that money. You really think they need to give back? You can't go ahead and be talking about my problem and don't go ahead and deal with my problem. Come on now.
You ain't gonna deal with that
because
it's a done deal, man.
I'm still alive. I'm still fighting. I'm kicking.
If everybody, I used to go to the CHA meetings. I was on Tennessee Road. I was co-captain. I used to go around and try to tell these people in the project, hey, they're getting ready to come and tear these buildings down and move y'all out. No, they're not. We're going to be here till the world blows up. The project's forever. I said, okay. They're going to throw y'all asses out of here. Jerry, all you doing is coming over here pouring salt. But when they did start sending them letters in the mail telling them that they were getting ready to relocate them, what they do? They came out, picked up guns, the black aldermen, all the black politicians in the black community, all the black churches and the black preachers, they already knew about it. But they was in on it. So they didn't even say that. They already knew about it. From the west side, south side, north side, east side, clean down to NYD. They already knew about it.
But them your leaders.
On a massive scale, man.
But them your leaders. Them your leaders in the community.
Them leaders.
They already nominated themselves. Them your leaders. So you don't want these people speaking up on your behalf. We ain't supposed to confront them, Jerry?
Well, I'm telling you this. Here's a crime about what's built already.
I ain't crying. You know I'll be in the crowd, be the first one yelling, screaming, no tears. So here it is again, Jerry. We not supposed to confront people?
You ain't confronting with what? You know what y'all need to do? Why don't you learn how to go to the record of these, go to the Cook County Assessor, learn how to run them these, then you'll see what you're going to be able to do about it.
Oh, you know what, Jerry? I get your point. But we already know what they're involved in. Okay, you look at the neighborhood. They speaking on your behalf. We should not say nothing, Jerry.
They ain't speaking on nobody's behalf. They done bought
up Jerry.
The whole community. They done bought up the whole community.
And a lot of our people don't know that, Jerry. This is what I'm trying to get to.
You'll be surprised.
I ain't surprised.
People in Chicago know and don't know. You'll be very surprised.
I ain't surprised.
said earlier, black folks just don't say anything. They don't write about nothing. They don't say nothing.
Black
we
folks,
give them a pass. We
black
say,
folks,
okay, well, forget it.
Black folks roll over for anything. That's one of the reasons they scared of Obama, because he's black. They figure if he representing people that roll over for anything, he's gonna roll over to anything. That's why they're scared about their guns being taken away from them.
Yeah, black folks ain't no major owner, no legal major owners of guns. You know, all that's gonna do is make the black market in the streets more powerful than selling more illegal weapons than anything else. So that ain't no problem. Because one thing about people in the streets, they gonna get their guns. They don't give a damn what kind of law you pass.
True.
They gonna get their guns.
True. Same out in the UK, and we ain't allowed guns.
Get their guns, their bullets, their sawed-off rifles. They gonna get their machetes. They gonna get it all because they got to have it in order to live. They don't care about going to jail about having no guns. They don't care about no 5-10 years, man.
Jerry, you telling on yourself what kind of arsenal you got at your house, Jerry?
I ain't got no guns in my house.
So
I don't have no guns in my house.
So how you defending yourself, Jerry?
I ain't got no guns in my house, man. When you live in the building that you don't own, you cannot have no guns in there. You can't have. I don't have no illegal weapons in my home, in my apartment, rent. I don't have no illegal weapons up in here because now they got keys to everybody's door. If they feel anything, they're suspicious. They got cameras all down the hall. If they want to, they can come in your apartment just on suspicion alone. Probable cause.
Is that in your lease, Jerry? Did you sign a new lease about saying that?
Probable cause. It's always been the lease nowadays. Probable cause. They sometimes they're supposed to give you a 30-day notice, but probable cause.
So
hey,
you don't think you
came in
that.
On probable cause and searched your apartment and found a weapon in your house. You're going to jail for 5-10 years just for having a gun illegally. See, I ain't trying to get no. I don't need no gun. I ain't out in the street like that no more. I don't need no gun. I got kids in here. I want no guns around my sons. We don't need no guns. We don't need that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that this, what we need to do is, yeah, we you know, the areas that they're putting us in, like and a lot of them, they're giving them one-way tickets. A lot of them is getting this new Section 8, and they're giving them a one-way ticket to move out of Chicago, go to another state, but they can't come back. Not back to Chicago. Now, they can move to... Now, if they move from Chicago to Zoo and want to go from Zoo, they can't come back from Zoo to Chicago. They got to go from Zoo to the moon, and that's it. They can't come back here, period.
Hey, Brother Poverty.
Yes, brother.
You know, which one of these guys, okay, like you're not familiar with the NAACP.
How often
is Jesse Jackson up there? Or have you ever heard about Al Sharpton coming up to the UK?
Well, Jesse Jackson he came to a debate last year that my queen went to debate. It was KRS-One on one side with some rappers. They were debating, is hip-hop good or bad? They were debating hip-hop. And Jesse Jackson came in just to debate that against KRS-One and other people.
What side was he on?
Shit. He was on the side against hip hop.
So what was it like? What was being said? Can you give me some of that?
Well, you know, they were just talking about the state of hip hop in the black community. Is it causing the youth to do badness and degenerative behavior? You know, he's more stronger on those sort of issues. Do you understand? Because he can be more stern in that situation. Now, when it's the black agenda now, he ain't very stern. Lift up your head too, bro. He ain't very stern in that matter. Do you see what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah. I think he's absent in that matter.
You know, the guy was just full of rubbish, you know. And, you know, the reason why I know about Messy Jesse is because of Khalid Muhammad. Because I, you know, Khalid Muhammad kind of woke me up. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, that's how I know about Messi, Jesse.
Mm. Hey,
you think Elijah Muhammad?
No. Khalid Muhammad.
Khalid
Muhammad is brother Jerry.
Oh.
Khalid Muhammad.
Khalid. Mm-hmm.
Khalid Muhammad.
I know.
Okay, we'll get that spelling bee thing going on a little while. Hey, brother Pianchi.
Yeah.
You know, with and I always say this here, you know, with Al Sharpton. You know, when's the last time he came down to St. Louis and dealt with some of the issues down there? What has he been saying about what's going on?
He came down here a couple of times. Back in the day, when Al Sharpton and them came on the scene, you was happy to see them.
Exactly.
But now, times has changed.
He's coming to get paid.
Yep. That was bugging me was that Trayvon Martin thing. You kept seeing them all around and talking. Why haven't they been on the streets in no courthouse or nothing like that?
Well, Trayvon Martin's parents asked for them to come down. He go down there by himself now.
Okay. All right, forget that one then. When that sister, hey, Jerry.
Trayvon, Jerry,
hold on, stick with me, brother. Jerry, you remember that sister got killed here on the west side here? What's her name? Miss Boyd?
Nancy was working with that family. She know who you're talking about, that Boyd girl.
Last name Boyd, you know, and if you go ahead and review that situation,
Nancy,
man.
Nancy working with that family. That family is getting ready to get a settlement out of court, but there's one thing I got to say about her brother. He never gave up on his sister. That boy had a love for his sister. He didn't care if they killed him. He's still on that doggone thing, fighting for his sister. They getting ready to settle out of court to get him some money and shut them up and make them be quiet about that. But yeah, and the police been told her brother that, oh man, I didn't mean to kill your sister. I'm sorry. What the fuck sorry gonna do when he shot her in the head?
Well, you know, hey, I didn't mean to kill your sister. What the hell you were doing shooting for in the first goddamn place?
And then they just had the morgue on TV where they talking about how the police, the lady say he didn't even know that was the boy's mother, and she walked up on the bike cop and asked him what's going on, and he told her, oh, well, it's just another nigga dead. She said, nigga? She that was her son. She was the boy's mother, but he didn't know that. And they all got to arguing and fighting over there. The police arrested them all and charged them all with mob action. But, man, you know, shoot, it's always been you would rather see. You was something, you know, when I was coming up, hang on, man, I would rather see a white cop than a black cop because the black cop always feed us the worst.
Mm.
Worse with black cops. It's like black cops was trying to prove something to the white cops. It was always something worse. The black cop would come and bust you all upside the head in front of the white cop, call you all kind of niggas and motherfuckers, and damn they had to get butt naked out on the street, looking all down in your drawers, everything, man.
Okay, Jerry, that's a little too graphic. Here, let me play something real quick. Take a break real people.
African Americans, or so-called Negro. One of the reasons that it is bad for us to continue to just refer to ourselves as so-called Negro, that's negative. When we say so-called Negro, that's pointing out what we aren't, but it isn't telling us what we are. We are African, and we happen to be in America. We're not American. We are people who formerly were Africans who were kidnapped and brought to America. Our forefathers weren't the pilgrims. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rock was landed on us. We were brought here against our will. We were not brought here to be made citizens. We were not brought here to enjoy the constitutional gifts that they speak so beautifully about today. And because we weren't brought here to be made citizens today, now that we've become awakened to some degree and we begin to ask for those things which they say are supposedly for Americans, they look upon us with hostility and unfriendliness. So our unwanted presence, the fact that we are unwanted, is becoming magnified in all of America's preachments today.
Right. Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show here at Blog Talk Radio. Talking with our Brother Pianchi, Brother Jerry, and Poverty Supreme. And we really much started out with dealing with the NAACP, but I think there's a whole bunch of things connected to it, so we were discussing a few different issues. So I think it was, let me see. Was that brother you, Brother Jerry? No. That was you, Brother Pianchi. When you were mentioning,
it was me. You trying to get off the subject. No.
Oh, come on, Jerry.
Brother X, Brother Malcolm X, when he at the end of his life, he found out one thing, that we need to have a universal connection when he went over there to the Middle East and went to the Kaaba, when he went to the Kaaba and did that circle. He found out that it was all different races of people over there together. So you going with the younger version of it, but not with the more enlightened version of it. So we got to understand one thing. It's too late for us to be talking about black this and black that, because it's over with that. But really it is. You know, we're going to be out there in these, look, man, go out there and Harvey, Chief. Go out there and kill your man. Go out there and Roseman.
I'm out there, Jerry. I'm out there. Don't be saying that I need it. I'm out there. I see it. That's one of the reasons I'm sitting here now, because I go out there and see it. I go to Roseland. I be on 103rd. I be on 110th in Michigan. I go out to Harvard.
Go out there.
I'm out there.
Go out there to Lansing. Go to
Jerry,
Indiana.
Jerry, I'm out there on 72, Jerry. I'm out there every weekend, Jerry. Come on, man. Every Sunday I'm out there.
It's just poverty and despair. You know, a lot of these people is really benefiting off of this. They're getting paid, man.
Yeah, because there's profits in poverty, man. Especially when you got a lot of people, you got a lot of black folks here in Chicago, and they spend their money on a bunch of nonsense and. And
as these murders in Chicago keep kicking off in these areas, the property value in those areas is pennies on a dollar because they got so much killing going on. That's how they did with the projects. They took them pennies on a dollar, pennies, had them for nothing, man, and made hundreds of millions of dollars and will make more. But as long as this killing is going on in these communities, that's how they are going to come in and just get the properties for nothing. Because all they're going to do is come in and tear down all the old shit and build brand new stuff. Damn, they don't want that stuff no more.
Jerry, see, you know, that's part of the bigger scheme of things. This is what I keep trying to tell you. You know, just say you admit it yourself. This ain't nothing new.
No.
It's been part of a plan for a long time, Jerry.
Yeah, the Daily started in 1970.
I said go before that, man. So this has all been part of a plan. You know, they acted out in almost every city, and then they go ahead and they move on with that plan again.
Well, we got to understand where they moving our people to now. We might as well get there and rebuild, because that's the only place they're not going to listen, man. They're cutting off the bus services. I was standing on 51st Street at one place.
Hold on, Jerry. You just said something. We get where and rebuild, Jerry. What are we going to do to rebuild off of? What are we going to start with, Jerry?
Well, we got to get there in these areas where they got us at, like Harvey, Riverdale.
Okay, so what are we going to rebuild with? Okay, what are we going to do? We're going to rebuild on starting their own company, doing hair weaves or making bricks or cars, or what are we going to do? Because you still got people that's going to move to these areas who's still working for people who going to treat them like shit. So what are we going to rebuild off of, Jerry?
We can't rebuild the community off of dope selling. We can't rebuild the community off of cocaine selling. We can't build a community off of prostitution, all that stuff, unless we
trying to rebuild an area where we don't have those areas. We need a product or a service or something we can go ahead and deal with. And when you go ahead and you look at what the Jews have been doing,
then since you're saying all that, then we might as well just go, all of us come together, dig a goddamn hole and just jump on in it and die.
That ain't what I was saying, Jerry. I'm trying to lead you to something else. My biggest push is toward agriculture and farming. That's my biggest push. Okay, everything you got on your... Hold on, Jerry. Everything you got on your back in your house pretty much came out the ground somewhere. Yes or no?
I'm in agreement with Chef there.
Yeah.
Everything should be living like the Amish lifestyle. That would be the best one, the Amish lifestyle for black folk.
Oh, the Amish.
The Amish lifestyle.
Okay. People live like Amish people. Okay.
Well, hey, look, but they disciplined, and they for their group.
And
lack a whole lot of discipline in our community, don't we? In our so-called communities, we lack a whole lot of discipline.
You're right, both of y'all right. We should be like the Amish, where we can have 10 wives and everything, and rebuild our community and strengthen our families. Yeah,
that's not the part that we should be focusing on. They got an economic structure, Jerry. So right now, slowly, I really think under the table they got a lot of political clout because they got that economic structure.
Of course they have. They got money. They pay for that land there. No one to mess with them. They go into the town and sell their crops to the people. Yeah, that's how they make their money, because they're growing real apples, real oranges.
Not only that, it's like people see them, they're like, wow, just look at that lifestyle and all this other stuff. So, hey, they jump on. People go ahead and look at them, and they think that's something totally different and new. But that ain't. And, Jerry, the Amish don't have like 10 wives. I don't think
they have a lot of wives. They deal with polygamy. They do deal with polygamy.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know about, growing that crazy looking.
They don't do polygamy. My queen's telling me they don't do polygamy.
Yeah, I don't think they do polygamy. But one thing I've been seeing about them recently is been some cases on them. They do incest.
They do incest, that's for sure.
Yeah, they go in on the daughter. Some of the boys have been, it's been some cases here recently. Well, these boys that raped the sister, a bunch of them. So every society got its ills, okay? So, but we can take something from almost every last one of them to go ahead and make ours. Don't think so.
Man, black folks ain't gonna be no Amish and giving up their shrimp, their pork fried rice, and all that stuff. You crazy?
Why not, Brother Bianchi? You always say that.
That's you, but not many.
You say that a few times, Brother Bianchi,
It's going to take a complete destruction of this economy that we in. You're going to have to get so far down that it ain't no further that you can go, and then people going to start fighting their way back up.
I hear that. I know black folk ain't going to go for it because they're too stuck in the world. The women need relaxer, perm. The men need to watch their ball game. Some people can't even take going without the internet for a day. Some people are crying because they ain't got no internet.
No internet.
You would have to modify it anyway. But I think that's the way to go. Amish route.
All right, I don't know about that going ahead and riding behind a horse that's just shitting and farting in front. I don't know about that part there.
Well, at least you ain't doing no damage to the earth.
I don't know, man. You know, it could be kind of toxic in acidity, high acidity, and I don't know about that.
What do you mean?
But I've traveling.
The food, that's good for the ground.
But I see it on the where the cars are driving. So, I've seen some of the Amish, for a while I didn't think they had a lot of Amish here in this state, but they do, and they sprouted up in a whole bunch of
them here too.
Yeah, they're here too. I seen a bunch of them coming up. I was I don't remember where it feels like on just on the other side of Springfield coming north. Yeah, I seen a bunch of them, a bunch, and they got their shops and everything, and they got a few, they got like a little Amish restaurant. I gotta remember what that town was, man. But this was like coming up 57, and when I got close, I was, because my only reason I saw this car because we had a bad blowout, tire just boom off the car, and so trying to get help and trying to get the tire fixed, we went into the little town.
That what gave you the inspiration for our people to go. And so what we gonna do? We gonna go. We gonna break away from America, and go somewhere, and we gonna make our own money, make our own everything.
Oh, you against that idea, ain't you, Jerry?
I'm just trying to make some sense of it because we have.
I see people down in that idea about people going to Africa and stuff. I mean, I don't think nobody should just up and pull out and go ahead and go to another area without going ahead and checking it out first. Okay? So, I go ahead and I look at, hey, look, you have people in this city who go ahead and came from rough areas, jump up and go ahead, and they'll go ahead and scout the suburbs and move to the suburbs and not realize when they get out to the suburbs and, hey, look, they got their risk going ahead, their kids going through a lot of stuff, they risk going ahead and being arrested, they risk getting their house burned or cross burned in front of y'all. Something going to have to be done. So you ain't going to fight these, you ain't going to move to these suburbs and go ahead and fight everybody over there. So, I'm kind of confused about what you're saying, Jerry.
No, I'm not confused. I don't know why you're confused. I'm just trying to see where we're going here with this because everybody been saying this from time I can remember as a little boy that we should leave this place and just break away and go somewhere, go where.
No problem with you going ahead. I see it just like this. Go ahead. These are my thoughts. I don't think you should completely leave the U.S., but I think you should go ahead. Because our ancestors had ties here, we should go ahead and do just like what the Europeans have done, just especially like what the Jews. They got Israel. So this should be a spot where you're making money, but your home should be somewhere else, and it should be on the continent. That's your home.
Hey, them blacks is moving out of Chicago. Where are they going, Rob?
It's a lot of people going ahead and volunteer. They go ahead, they got a better job, and they want to go ahead and go to some areas. And like Jerry is always saying, hey, look, a lot of people are forced out of Chicago. So they're coming to these areas where, hey, look, there's no transportation. There's very little transportation. You got to have a car to move.
A lot of them.
Some of the schools are better. Still, you go ahead and risk going ahead. And if you miss the bus, they're busing kids. If you miss the bus, you got to walk to school. So you're taking a big chance on you walking to school because you got some whites that are going to go ahead and throw bricks and all kinds of other stuff at you. So they're moving to not to this area, a little south of where I'm at, and a little further north. I see a lot of people move a little further north. I live like about 50 miles outside of Chicago.
Yeah, you
50
miles out.
Say that again?
You 50 miles out, but they go on to Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Robbins, Mississippi, South Carolina, North Carolina. They going everywhere. They going. A lot of them trying to go back to where their great-great-grandparents came from. A lot of them just scattering out. Then they're getting there and finding out that it ain't. A lot of them going to Texas. They're getting there, finding out that it was nothing like being here, and they're trying to come back, but they can't, because these properties. I keep telling you, Chief, that you need to learn how to run these deeds, and that way you can go and you can run all these PIN numbers to all these vacant lots and all these abandoned buildings and all this stuff that's coming up now, and you can see exactly who got the grips on my black asses.
Well, right now, one thing at a time. Let me get this other thing going right, and then because that's going to be the next one of the next things we're going to be working on. Because, like I said, I got my 501c3. Okay, my nonprofit is going here and trying to teach people about farming and agriculture. I can go here, once you get it from the ground, put it on that table, I can show you how to go ahead and eat it, go ahead and do different things with it, go ahead and just eat it. I can go ahead and take collard greens and make it a bunch of different ways. But getting it from the getting out of the ground, that's something I'm stuck on, but we're learning. And I got some people that are going ahead and teaching us this, but we got to go ahead and get this off the ground. I got to, I'm off.
Nancy,
hold on, brother.
Could
you hold on, brother? Hold on, brother. Let me, you know, don't make me come down and get you.
You know, man, you come on with your 45 or your 9 millimeter. But I'm telling you, if you want to learn, Nancy can teach you how to plant seeds and grow.
I'm reaching out to Nancy. I'm reaching out to everybody. You know, come on through. We got about 9 minutes left, so, you know, I want to get everybody's final thoughts. Let me go ahead and start with Brother Pianchi.
Well, them organizations we started off talking about, the NAACP, they still got the policies that's not talking about self, do for self, self-help. And it's quite evident. They want to keep your children locked into them failing schools. They don't speak out against the things that they should be speaking out against, and they're a plague.
All right, hey, Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry, what is we doing? Going to an elevator? Brother Jerry, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, give me some final thoughts about this, you know, how we started out. You know, we got that NAACP thing here. We know they ain't helping these Urban League and all these others. What do you feel, man?
I feel that we still crying a river, you know, and the river is over. The dam then broke, the water is every damn where, so it's too late for all that. Now, they done their agenda. We got to understand one thing, that we're not going to leave here, so we might as well put our boots on, jump in, and get a hold of some of this shit before it all get away. That's all we can do.
Okay. I'm going to come down there and see you about that. All right, Brother Supreme, give me your final thoughts, brother.
Well, you know, as you guys always know, you know, it's always the devil giving these house niggas power. You understand? And the house nigger is the biggest problem in our community, as well as our own mental differences. But these house niggas are the ones who are perpetrating the envy in our people. Like, you got your Jay-Z's, your Beyoncé's, your Rihanna's, you know. And these people are, and the Oprah Winfrey's, you know, these are the people who are helping destroy our people with their foolishness and their coonery. Until we get over these house niggers, you know, we'll always be in a position. Because you got to understand, over 400 years of beatings from this devil, we all know that we, as black people, we got to stay away from the devil. You understand?
Okay.
But it's just these house niggers that we follow. Who are making it okay for our people? You know, you got your Farrakhan's the most dangerous house nigger out there. This guy defends the rappers. He defends the irreverent pork shops. Your hustler preachers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm trying to say? He defends everything that can destroy our community. He defends it.
Mm. Yeah, brother, we got to deal with that. We got to deal with that. You know, we need to keep on talking about that. Okay, people, that's my show. And next time I'll be on is on Thursday. Brother Pablo got a show. Brother Jerry got a show. You need to check them out. And
Sister Nancy got a show tomorrow.
Sister Nancy's got a show. Glad she put it in the chat room. And Sister Antoinette's here. I saw her. And she puts out some information. We get emails sometimes. But hey, that's my show. I'll see y'all on Thursday. Thanks for coming.
Well, you ain't gonna do no worse.
Oh, my girl, you tell me, say you have something to tell me. No, you see me right now, please tell me. You can't deny my love. You can't deny my love. Sexy Aitania, come sing for me.
Moment of honesty. Someone's gotta take the lead tonight. Is it gonna be?
Make sure.
I'm gonna sit right here and tell you what comes to me.
Yeah.